May I ask the chairs as well as our partners to please join us up on stage? We have a formal welcome before we break for coffee. So please join me once more in thanking our distinguished panel, an extremely inspirational group of people. Before we thank you again, Michel.
Thank you.
Before we break for coffee, a few words from our partners and our chairs. I'll introduce them all at once and ask them to speak in this order. The first will be Dr. David Asbo, who is a consultant in HIV medicine and sexual health at Chelsea and Westminster Hospital. He was elected chair of the British HIV Association from July 2013 to 2016. Professor Jane Anderson is an expert on HIV, sexual and reproductive health in the Health and Wellbeing Directorate at Public Health England, and she's the immediate past chair of BIVA. Professor Brian Gazzard is a director of HIV clinical research and education at Chelsea and Westminster, which is recognized as a global center of excellence for the treatment of HIV and research into HIV, and also a member of the IAPAC Board of Trustees. Dr. Steve Mayer is professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and the Harvard School of Public Health, an attending physician at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. And Dr. Julio Montaner, already introduced, but I'll introduce him again, director of the British Columbia Center for Excellence in HIV/AIDS and the chair in AIDS research and head of division of AIDS in the Faculty of Medicine, University of British Columbia. David?
Thanks very much, Jose. So it's a great pleasure that the British HIV Association joins partners Public Health England and UNAIDS, along with the sponsors IAPAC, to welcome distinguished guests, colleagues, and also members of the community to this critical summit. And welcome to London. By way of background, the number of new HIV diagnoses in men who have sex with men in this very city increased by 20% in 2012, and that's in a country, high-income country, that's had full access to antiretrovirals for the last 15 years. The transformational benefit of antiretroviral treatment is beyond, for people living with HIV, is beyond doubt, and we have known now for many years of the prevention benefits as well, initially in the trials of prevention of mother-to-child transmission. And more recently, robust evidence from trials demonstrating the fact that antiretroviral therapy prevents sexual transmission. But when we look at the detail of those studies, such as HPTN-052 and the IPREC study, then many questions, many challenges arise from looking at that in more detail. The IAPAC meeting held with BIVA last year started to define what some of those questions were, and if you've not read the consensus statement for that meeting, I would recommend it to you. So we're one year further down the path now, and obviously policymakers and researchers, program directors, are really starting to look in a lot of detail what does treatment as prevention mean and how do we implement it. So we're here a year later, and it's a great opportunity to catch up with the research that's been presented and progress in this field. So what are some of those questions? So obviously testing is absolutely critical. So what testing technologies, what testing strategies, what testing resources do we need to make treatment as prevention a reality? If we identify someone who's HIV positive, how can we ensure that they get transferred into care and have access to treatment? How do we retain them in care? If we're looking at expanded treatment policies and even expanding antiretroviral treatment to people who are HIV negative, are we sure that we've worked out what the unintended consequences of that expanded treatment might be in terms of toxicity and resistance and risk decompensation? So, and lastly, and what's already been aired and what obviously is critical, if we're looking at expanded treatment, then how are we going to resource that treatment and who is going to pay for it? So there are many, many questions that are going to be looked at over the next 3 days. I invite you to discuss it, to debate it, We need to be provocative, but most of all, we need to progress the arguments. We need to take stock of the evidence we have and really move this along. And I welcome your input into that, and thank you for coming.
Good afternoon, Jose. Thank you for that introduction. On behalf of Public Health England, I'd also like to add a very warm welcome to you all on this really very exciting and very important conference. And Public Health England is absolutely delighted to be a partner with IAPAC, with Beaver and with UNAIDS to make this summit a reality. For those of you from outside the UK, you may know that the health system in the UK has undergone a seismic shift, and Public Health England is a new agency that's emerged from that seismic shift. We haven't had a national public health agency before, and now we have one, and it's a very, very exciting time. As UK health policy gives much greater prominence to well-being and to outcomes, we have a real opportunity in this country to move things forward. And Michelle, we heard what you said about a strategy. Public Health England works with and alongside partners to protect and improve the public's health. And in particular, not just its health, but also its well-being and for everything that means. Our key tools are knowledge, evidence, advocacy, and insight, and partnerships, which are absolutely crucial for anything and everything we do. And we demonstrate that by the partnerships that we bring together for this meeting. We talk about global to local. It's never been more important in the UK. It's never been more important in the field of HIV in the UK, as we see our local authority colleagues taking up the baton with responsibility for HIV testing and HIV prevention in this country as of the 1st of April. And so we need the evidence, the data, to actually drive that agenda, to show our local authority partners the evidence they need to move forward to take this into the next phase. Public Health England also collates, analyses, and interprets the epidemiological surveillance of HIV in this country. It provides the bedrock of the evidence to inform and to accelerate our recommendations for action. We also now hold the social marketing budget for health promotion in England. HIV is preventable. We have the knowledge. We have the tools. Just over a year ago, we met here in London to look at the biomedical prevention opportunities at our disposal. And here we are a year on to look at how we begin to implement and bring some of these interventions to scale. And this conference brings together experts, stakeholders from many viewpoints we've just seen in our previous panel. And it's a really unique opportunity to take stock and to map out our route forward together. And particularly, we have the opportunity to spend the time away from our usual day-to-day distractions and to come together for honest debate. I hope this summit will provoke your full participation and your really enthusiastic engagement, because here really is an unrivaled chance for us to discuss, to debate some of the really difficult and the controversial issues that we've got to face if we're going to take this and be willing to move forward. So I hope you'll take every chance that's on offer over the next couple of days to engage, to participate with this critically important issue. And I hope you'll have some time to see a little bit of the fabulous city that is London. So I wish you all a very successful and enjoyable conference. Thank you.
Hi there. I'm too old to stand up, I apologise. I saw my first AIDS patient 33 years ago, and to think that I might be here today talking about treatment and treatment as prevention is just mind-blowing, really. And I've been very moved by everything that's been said so far, and I'd like to add my warm welcome here and to say, please, when you're sitting here, think what you could do to help. It's not so much that some distant government can do everything. It is what can we in this audience do to change the paradigm and to really make this a reality. I am excited that in my lifetime rapidly drawing to its close, that I've changed from an untreatable disease to a treatable disease to a condition where we might have an impact on the global epidemic. And I really do think that's amazing. We're not at the beginning of the end, but we are at the end of the beginning. And it's wonderful to see you all here, and have a great time.
I think Brian set a good precedent, even if I'm not as advanced in years. But I want to send my welcome as well. I really want to thank Jose and IAPAC for convening a wonderful organizing committee and getting all of you here to London. I think this is going to be an important several days as we think through some of the issues. Not to make things more complicated, but I think we have talked about resources. But we also have to then think about, it's not just getting people to take antiretroviral medication, it's not just the monitoring for antiretroviral medication, because we know that the reasons we have a global pandemic have to do with lots of social, structural, individual behavioral factors. So then we have to think about how do we also address coexisting syndemics, substance use, depression, how do we think about other concomitant infections. We don't want to just do a great job on TB, which is so pervasive, but what about now that we have better drugs for hepatitis C? So not to make it more complicated, but we can't just see things in a vacuum. We also have to be attentive to the human rights issues. We certainly don't want the implicit excitement of treatment as prevention making people feel coerced to take medication, and I know that will be a theme that we'll be discussing over the next few days. Lord Fowler talked about the continued pervasive stigma, and we have to think about what are the implications of medicalizing something for some individuals and in settings where there's not a robust civil society or support for people's lifestyles. And I guess last issue, which we'll talk more about on Tuesday, is when we have finite budgets, but we know that in some settings the rapid spread of the epidemic might also be best addressed with making antiretrovirals available for primary prevention, for pre-exposure prophylaxis, or for microbicides. How do we put that in the mix as well? So nobody said it would be simple, but I certainly look forward to learning a great deal from all of you here these next few days.
You'll be happy to know that I will be very brief in my remarks. I want to thank IAPAC for taking this issue and running with it. As I indicated earlier, I think this is a very unique opportunity that we have to turn an epidemic around, and this is too big for us not to commit our full energy to do so. Thank you.
As we close this opening session, just a word of thanks again to Public Health England, British HIV Association, and UNAIDS. We wouldn't be here without their support, as well as the leadership of our chairs. Thank you very much. We'll reconvene at 2:40.
On to caffeine.